This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Kevin Fishbane.
I got Fishy Business, K. Fishbane. What I call him whenever I have him on the show, Fishy Business.
Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
I also always use the Arrested Development line. There's always money in the banana stand.
How much clearer can I say? There's always money in the banana stand!
Kevin Fishbane talking Bears.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic.
I love your name.
It's a great name.
Yeah, great name.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we go out to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we find our football friend, Kevin Fishbane. He's also just our friend. He is the writer for The Athletic, covering the Bears, the senior writer at that, and host of Breaking In with Kevin Fishbane, a sports media podcast. Good to talk to you as we get ready for training camp now underway, Kevin.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you guys as well. It's been a while, and football is kind of back.
It is kind of back. Yeah, I guess that's where we start. I know they roll out the pads and the helmets on Wednesday, but we've got rookies reporting. Veterans are already starting to report. The Bears posted a video of Caleb Williams coming in early. You love to see that out of your QB1. What is what you're doing right now as a writer as you get ready for when people are actually going to be on the mic?
Yeah, so tomorrow we'll hear from Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson. I think a few players are going to talk to us as well. And it's the kickoff to camp. It's a little different than the Bourbonnais days where you'd load up the car for 2 weeks or 4 weeks, and you'd drive down to Bourbonnais, and whoever the GM and head coach was, they would hold court, and you'd see players coming out of their cars with garbage bags of clothes. So it's a different vibe, but it is the kickoff. It is the start. And, I think the most important stuff we will probably learn tomorrow is injury news, who's going to be ready to go, who's not, who's going to need a few more days or a few more weeks. And we're going to continue to learn more about this Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams relationship. I'm guessing the first pad of practice might not be until early next week. So, everyone's going to be on pins and needles for the first practices, but we got to take it a little slow. Back in the day, they used to start with pads like by practice 3. I think they now hold off until practice 5 or 6. But, it's fun because I think this team has found a way with its roster to not be in a full reset mode, even though they fired the entire coaching staff. And it's rare to have that setup. And I've spent a lot of the offseason making comparisons to 2018. It doesn't mean they're going to go 12-4, but there are some similarities to that situation where you had a new staff in and a roster that you felt pretty good about.
Kevin, I'm fascinated by Ben Johnson's hiring and what he will be in this era of Bears football for this quarterback in Caleb Williams. What have you learned in your short time covering Ben Johnson as the head football coach of the Chicago Bears that you think people should know about before training camp gets started?
Yeah, he is, Russ, I got to be careful, and you know this too from covering sports, that like a lot of managers and coaches, when they first come in, you hear kind of the same things, the same tropes and narratives.
The jargon. But
yes, I will say from what I have heard about Ben Johnson, from what a little bit of what I've seen, I mean, the guy is a workaholic. I mean, he is intense, and he is going to be very much doing everything in his power to make this work. Now, the reaction to that is, well, Eberflus did the same thing, and Matt Nagy did the same thing. A lot of coaches come in like that. But I do think that this guy, from everybody I've talked to, is just wired a little bit in a way that this intensity that you heard a lot about in OTAs, that goes into the building, that goes into his office, that goes into the things that he is doing to, make this team a winner. Because, again, this is not a rebuilding team. This is not a, hey, let's just, see what we got here and play for 2026 and 2027. No, like, this is a team that is built to compete right now. We saw a rookie quarterback do wild things in Washington and take his team to the NFC Championship last year. There should be comfortable expectations in this building that they should be uncomfortable with, in a sense, in terms of having the roster to get to the playoffs and maybe actually, dare I say, win a playoff game. I mean, that should be like, they should be thinking like that. Like, they're built like that. And I think he is the type of coach who gets it. And yes, it's going to take some time and there's going to be a lot of hiccups early on as everybody understands his playbook and knows what he's doing. But I do think that he is not here to kind of take this thing slow. I think this thing is going to, he understands that they should be coming out of the gate firing.
Yeah, he's got to hit the ground running, that's for sure. This segment with Kevin Fishbane is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And as we talk to you about getting ready for training camp, I think you mentioned the health. Was it a bit of a surprise? Because it was to me to read that Jalen Johnson was on the non-football injured list to start the season.
Yes, it was a surprise. I will say, Layla, that generally everybody who lands in the non-football injury list is a surprise because we don't know what happened. Like, that is the whole essence of a non-football injury. It happened away from the facility. This wasn't something that we saw in practice or during a game. So it's always a little surprising when you get that list because it could be like Case Keenum where he's on there for 24 hours. It could be longer, and that obviously that's going to be top of mind tomorrow when we hear from Ryan Poles. So it's a little surprising, and I'm obviously for Bears fans, the hope is that it's like a Case Keenum situation. We've seen a lot of this with non-football injuries where, whatever happened, he's just not like ready to go, and so physically speaking, they have to start them on this list, and maybe he'll be ready to go soon. But we'll just kind of have to wait and see.
Kevin, I'm going to take Caleb Williams out of this because I think that's the easy answer. But when you look at this roster and you say one area will improve dramatically in 2025, what is it?
Good question, Russ. I look at the pass rush because, for one thing, it's hard to be worse than they were the last couple of years, so certainly last year. And I look at what they've built on the interior. And you talk about Grady Jarrett, you bring in Shamar Turner as a second round pick in the draft. I think that there should be some high hopes for Jervon Dexter. He led the team in quarterback hits last year, and now he's going to have better players around him. The Bears are obviously very excited about Dio Odengbo. I know fans are a little nervous about his cap hit and the number, the sacks tailing off last year, but the Bears weren't the only team in on him. And then look, Montez Sweat is going to be one of the most fascinating players for me to watch in camp because he is somebody that can absolutely wreck a game. He can wreck a training camp practice. And he knows more than anybody that last year was not up to his standards. He wasn't fully healthy. And I think that I'm just curious to see a motivated Sweat, a rebuilt interior, and you put all that together with Dennis Allen, like this should be a group. Now, it's not going to be the Eagles, right? Like, I'm not trying to say this is going to be a top five pass rush. And again, they've got a lot of room to grow after what happened last year. But I do think you are starting to see the makings of a group that can rotate guys. You bring in Dennis Allen. You have to imagine that Montez Sweat is going to be better than last year. And that intrigues me. I'm very interested to see this group in camp because the other thing, too, is you could also argue that defensive end might be one of the positions of concern. It's a thin position behind those top two. And you have questions about both those starters, like legitimate questions. So there's a big variance there. But I am very interested to see how it all comes together with the new players added and then with the new scheme and the guy calling the plays.
I'm glad you talked about the pass rush because it got me retroactively annoyed with something that kind of got lost in the shuffle when it came to the switch from Matt Eberflus to Dennis Allen's defense. So I'm going to take us back there real quick. Didn't you get annoyed with him just being like, well, we just don't blitz that much? Oh, and the descriptions of the defense were like, oh, they just, it's not really what they do. Why not? Like, I really hope there are no limitations on that type of scheme from what we'll see out of Dennis Allen. I don't get the indication that that's the case, but I do want to bring it up because it's something that I think really makes it all make sense as to why the lack of production was there last year. They got away from blitzing. You remember it was like something they did in the beginning, and then for some reason they just didn't do it as much as the season went on.
Yeah, I mean, you remember, Layla, when Eberflus took over play calling for Allen Williams, that was one of the biggest differences, was the blitzing went up, and that was 2023. Then you added Montez Sweat, and he had this, just he came on, you know, hair on fire when he got here. And yeah, last year was a problem, and they weren't doing a lot of things we were used to them doing. Injuries played a role. You know, the blitzing thing is a funny thing, because, like, you want to go look back at the 06 Bears, right? They weren't necessarily known for blitzing a ton. But you can get away with that when you have a ferocious front four. Mm-hmm. And you have Hall of Famers at linebacker, right? And the Bears just didn't have all those things that would do that. Now, I think I thought one of them, like, you talk about players I'm really eager to watch this year, going on that topic, Layla, is Kyler Gordon. Because I think Dennis Allen said it from day one, like, he sees Kyler Gordon as this weapon, as this chess piece. And we did see Kyler Gordon blitz a lot, and it's something he's really good at. But I'm very curious to see what Dennis Allen does with him. Because I'll stand at the table and say, if Kyler Gordon is fully healthy, like, that guy is Pro Bowl caliber. When he's, you know, when he's on the field, you know, he's had these nicks and bruises over the past couple of years. He got the contract extension. Like, that's something I'm very curious about. How is he going to use Edmonds and Edwards differently? I talked to a coach when Dennis Allen first got hired, and they said, look at DeMario Davis. Look at the career years he put up with Dennis Allen calling the plays in New Orleans. So how he's going to use all those guys is going to be fascinating, because I do think a lot of these defenses are very similar, but the little wrinkles are going to be some of those exotic looks we see on third down from Dennis Allen. And that's going to be where you really can kind of see his experience and how he utilizes these players.
Kyler Gordon was so good at it last year that you saw him coming from a mile away watching the tape. You knew exactly how far outside he was lining up. You knew exactly what stance he had. His body language was incredibly deliberate before the snap, and there was still nothing the opposing team was able to do about it. That's how good it was. It just boggles my mind. I'm looking forward to something being different there. I want more of that.
Yeah, I mean, he's capable of it, and that's the other thing, too, is, like, is this team going to be in nickel even more because of what Dennis Allen says about Kyler Gordon, because of the way they use him? And you look up and down the roster, what's a starting, quote unquote, starting position that you've got questions about? It's Sam linebacker, but that Sam linebacker position might not be on the field very much if Dennis Allen is comfortable keeping Kyler Gordon out there on quote unquote rundowns. So obviously it's not, you know, football of 10, 15, 20 years ago where it's base nickel all the time. And I think that the Kyler Gordon element of it just gives Dennis Allen a lot of ways that he can, you know, mess around with that defense and do some different things.
Kevin, there were many Sundays last year where you saw Caleb Williams get hit, and he got hit a lot. Most of the time, I am very excited. And you talked about the impact players that this Bears team has that makes you think they could be a team that makes an impact in the playoffs. The combination of Drew Dahlman and Joe Tooney on the interior of that offensive line, where you can imagine for the first time since he's been in Chicago, Caleb Williams having time to get the football and examine the field before he has to get rid of it. This will be the best offensive line you've covered since when?
Ooh, well, the 2018 line played really well. And a couple of those guys end up going to the Pro Bowl as alternates. I'd probably go back to 2013. That group started, they played every single snap together until the final game of the season. Kyle Long went to the Pro Bowl as a rookie. That and Matt Slauson was really good. You had Roberto Garza, the veteran. Obviously, you go back to the best offensive line this team has had in this century. You go to the Super Bowl year. But still, even all that, Russ, like, you talk about potential with this group. So Joe Tooney was an all-pro guard the last few seasons. The last time the Bears had an all-pro offensive guard was in the 1950s. Okay, like, you bring in Drew Dahlman. The Bears have had four different week one starting centers over the last 4 years. And now here comes somebody who was far and away the best center available in free agency. We're not talking about Jonah Jackson. And that's fair, because you got questions about him after what happened in LA. But the guy was pretty good earlier in his career in Detroit and has that familiarity with Ben Johnson. And then you talk Darnell Wright. Like, again, I'm giving you guys kind of the glass fully half full because it's July. That's what we should be doing. Like, right. I like the idea. I'm happy building up the hope of the fan base. And then, you know, after week one, I might have to tear it all down. It is the Bears, but we'll see. Darnell Wright is somebody that last year we were expecting that year to jump. It didn't necessarily happen. He battled injuries. I want to see what he looks like, fully healthy, new scheme. And then left tackle, you know, that's going to be the battle of camp. But you can talk yourself into this being one of the better offensive lines in a long time. And simply, as you said, the Tooney-Dolman combination is about as good of a duo as we've seen there. Again, you go back to Garza, Kyle Long. I think when Cody Whitehair was playing at his best in that 2018 season, you can go there as well. You can go back to Olin, Reuben Brown. So again, these guys got to show it on the field, but on paper, what we know about them, you have to feel really good about those guys protecting the interior.
Well, I'm glad that you, Bears fan Russ Dorsey, brought that up to Bears writer Kevin Fishbane, because that is a key focus of your fan survey, is I feel like the offensive line was a huge part of this. What can you tell us about what you found from the fans in your Athletic article?
Well, I'm glad Russ brought up Drew Dolman, because one of the questions I ask every year in the fan survey is, which newcomer are you most excited about? And I also ask, what was the best move the GM made? And Drew Dolman, Joe Tooney was number one for both. Drew Dolman was second, running away from Grady Jarrett. And again, I think that this city respects the center position. I mentioned Olin. I mentioned Garza. You go back to Jay Hilgenberg. Like, this is a city that loves its centers and has wanted a guy to man that pivot position and stay there and stay healthy and be good. I think Grady Jarrett's going to be incredibly impactful, and a lot of that impact might be in the locker room, just being a leader. But, you know, Bears fans see that, and I'm going to pull up the numbers, because I always ask what position concerns you most, concerns you least. The number of people who said most for offensive line is 10.6%. And that is the smallest number I've ever had while doing the survey. It peaked in 2022 when 64.5% of fans said offensive line was the number one concern. So you're seeing the fans, you know, there's still a little bit, because obviously you got the question of left tackle. And again, you can worry that maybe is Darnell Wright going to take that jump? Is Jonah Jackson what, you know, the Bears are hoping for? Is Joe Tooney too old? Again, I'm going glass half empty there. But Layla, I tell you what, you know, again, this is my sixth time doing the survey, and oftentimes it is filled with hope. These things, it's summertime. I get the way the fans work. This time of year, every year, I'm telling myself Northwestern's going to win the Big Ten championship. I don't care what anybody else says. Like, I get it. I totally understand it. This survey did seem a little different. Just the next level of trust in Ben Johnson. Like, the confidence that fans have in him makes such a difference in the way they view this team. Like, comparing confidence in Caleb Williams this summer compared to what fans said about Justin Fields heading into his second summer, I think is almost more about the coach than the quarterback, because Justin Fields showed us a lot of flashes his rookie year. I mean, there was legitimate excitement. I mean, gosh, you guys remember the day that he got drafted, how excited people were. So I think that but going into year two, you were pairing Justin Fields with Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy. Going year two, you're pairing Caleb Williams with Ben Johnson. And I think you saw that throughout the survey, that fans are really, really excited and hopeful. And they believe in Ben Johnson and what he's going to be able to do for this franchise.
Yeah, it's fair. And you can sometimes tell by the way the responses are as a whole. That's when I think you get a little more clear understanding, as opposed to just, for lack of a better term, drunken optimism.
Yeah, and like, you know,
like Northwestern winning the Big Ten title. I love it, and you for what they do, but you know what I mean.
Listen, you know, when they finally do, I'll be able to say I was right. I said I knew it all summer long.
I look forward to that party.
We'll see if college football still exists before that it can actually happen. You know, I at the end, I asked about win total. That's kind of the last question I ask every year. And I'm looking at the numbers now, you know, 25.8% of fans said this team's going to win 10 games. And that's a pretty good number. Most the plurality was 9. I mean, most people think this team is going to win, is going to be above 500. And again, I think it speaks to the coach, speaks to the roster that's been built, the trades Ryan Poles has made. You know, again, it's all set up there. And I think if you look at the over under in Vegas, it's 8.5. If you look at what people around the league are probably saying, I think, you know, Chicago is always more optimistic in the city than people are probably outside the city about the team, which is natural. But again, I will put my like prediction, quote unquote, as 9 wins. And I think this team should be contending for the playoffs in December, January. And can I also tell you guys something? I ask for so little in life. It would be nice to cover some really relevant games in late December and early January. I don't think that's asking too much. Again, we don't, you know, in our jobs, you guys know this, you know, I'm not rooting, but it's more interesting, it's more intriguing, it's more entertaining when we get to cover games that matter and not just for whether or not a coach is going to be fired. Like, matter as in, like, we get emails from the NFL every Tuesday starting in, like, late November, which gives us the playoff scenarios. Like, what Team X needs to do. In my 12 years of getting those emails, I think the Bears have been on there, like, twice, both in 2018.
Wait. What was all this in the Hunt talk?
Well, they were in the Hunt, but to be in position to actually win something and clinch is... That's what gets you in the email from the league, Layla. You got to be in position to clinch something. So in the Hunt is nice, but it, you know, again, it just like that buzz in Soldier Field. It would be fun to get that in the winter and just to feel that. I mean, I think too, what's going on at Wrigley Field, different sports, everything's different, but you see that, and I imagine there's people in Halas Hall are being like, man, if we could get that buzz that's going on in Wrigley right now as we move into the fall. Because there's going to be buzz in the fall, there always is, but as we move into the winter, you know, that's something this franchise just has not been able to experience very much in the past 10, 15 years.
Guys much more willing to talk when teams are winning.
Amen.
You know it. The stories are more fun. The players and coaches are more relaxed. It's just, yeah, well... Maybe this year we can get, again, relevant games late December, early January. That's it. It should be a low bar.
Fair bar.
from your lips to God's ears, may they make one of those NFL emails. That will be the day. Kevin Fishbane, thank you so much for joining us. We're looking forward to talking to you all season, and congrats on a great survey another year.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Kevin. That was Kevin Fishbane, who is also joining us on Twitch, by the way, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. We're late to our break because we wanted to talk Bears because it's that time. But also, speaking of relevant games, let's play a game called Around Major League Baseball with Russ Dorsey. Let's check in on the competition. Let's be nosy next on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
To center, Perkins is there. Ball game over. 10 straight for the Brewers as they have swept the Dodgers in L.A. 6-5 the final score. But Abner Uribe able to put it in the holster at the end of the day as the Brewers go 6-0 against the Dodgers in 2025.
Yeah, that jubilant call was from Fox Sports Wisconsin, FanDuel Sports Wisconsin. Sorry, old habits. But the Brewers stay the same now, winners of 10 in a row. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Russ Dorsey in for Marshall Harris today. Russ, the
Hi.
Yahoo Sports Major League Baseball insider and also Apple TV analyst. So that's why we want to play a game called Around MLB with Russ. Tell me about what inspired this, and I love a good check-in on other teams.
The league, as we've talked about all morning, is wide open. You look around Major League Baseball, and there's a group of, I'll call it six teams, seven teams, that have a realistic shot to win the World Series.
Actual contenders
where I say, yes, this team can be hoisting the trophy at the end of the year. So let's start with the Detroit Tigers, who won on Sunday Night Baseball last night. Tarek Skubal being Tarek Skubal, 6 2/3, struck out 11, no walks. They are 60-40. They have the best record in Major League Baseball. You look at the Tigers, their needs currently, an additional starting pitcher, a guy that could pitch behind Tarek Skubal in the postseason, a third baseman, because they were in on Alex Bregman, too.
Yes, they were.
And you think of that team, if they had Alex Bregman, just like Ooh. The Cubs, and you're like, woof, that's a tough out in the postseason. And then possibly an outfielder, right? So not crazy for the Tigers, who have gotten themselves in a great position in a weak American League. Then you have the Cubs sitting at 59-40. We've talked about their needs all morning. And then here comes the Undertaker, drops lights. 59-40, right behind the Cubs, just in terms of head-to-head. Yeah, the Undertaker's right there. And you look at the Brewers' needs. They're one of these teams where it's a huge advantage when you don't need starting pitching. Because as a lot of these teams that I'm going to talk about as we list them here, they need starting pitching. And when you can focus your energy somewhere else, there you go. Anytime we talk about the Brewers, that's what you're going to hear.
I loved April, man. I was chilling. Here I was comes, like, oh, and May's
the,
good.
This is the dry ice.
Early May was lovely.
The dry ice coming over Wrigley Field as the Undertaker walks in. So
wait, what's their record? How many games have they won?
They are 59-40, right there with the Cubs. Then after that, the Toronto Blue Jays at 58-41, fourth best record in Major League Baseball. They've taken control of the AL East. The Yankees have had some struggles. Struggles winning games, struggles with fundamentals, which is consistently their problem now. And we probably need to have a bigger conversation. Like, Ronald Acuna Jr. last week made one of the best throws I've ever seen on a baseball field. However, Yordi Vivas did not slide on a play that clearly needed a slide with a third base coach telling him to slide, and he broke it down about halfway through, didn't slide, and was thrown out. It gave us one of the best throws we've seen from the outfield in Acuna, but bad fundamentals from the Yankees, which we've seen far too often.
Yeah, also, when they have had indeed prolonged struggles, and it goes back to coachable things and discipline-based things, leads you asking some real questions about their staff and how much Aaron Boone thinks his team are really savages, frankly.
And it's why where they are on this list. Then we get...
Savages in the box. It's a quote.
Fifth best record in baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are 58-42. Now, 58-42, fifth best record in baseball, is pretty good considering that the Dodgers have lost 10 of their last 12s. Got swept by the Brewers, who are playing great baseball right now.
Got swept twice.
For the second time this year. And it's not looking great. They have a rotation that is not healthy. Even though Blake Snell is rehabbing, I don't believe the Dodgers rotation is healthy until I see those guys pitching in Dodger Stadium. They're not hitting right now. Actually, the only guy really hitting is Shohei Ohtani. Mookie Betts has an OPS below 700. We've never said that. He doesn't sound confident in his post games. Their defense has struggled. Clayton Kershaw, so frustrated yesterday, cut his scrum short because he said, I'm going to stop before I say something I shouldn't. So vibes aren't great at Chavez Ravine right now for the Dodgers. Then you have, rounding out the group, Houston Astros. They are inevitable, 57-42. They also have starting pitching. They'll probably be looking for a little bit of offense, possibly a center fielder, depending on what they're looking at there. And then this is the team, the Philadelphia Phillies, 56-43. 3.5 games back of the best record in baseball. Another one of these teams like the Brewers that does not need starting pitching. Zach Wheeler is having the best year of his career. You can make the case that Ranger Suarez and Christopher Sanchez both should have been all-stars. They don't even have Aaron Nola back yet. And you look at a team, Bryce Harper's starting to do the thing. Kyle Schwarber has been doing the thing, and you know how he gets in October. If they get one or two high-leverage arms, whether it's an Emmanuel Clase, David Bednar, Johan Duran from the Twins, if they decide to sell, that's a team that you're gonna have to beat them.
Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah. Like, one of those guys is going to help that team because they have the starting pitching. They have the offense.
Yeah, they need bullpen.
If they had a way to shut down the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, that's a team that's going to be very hard to beat in October.
And, you know, we talk about Kyle Schwarber like he's not producing right now. He's still 5th in baseball in home runs at 32. So it's Cal Raleigh, Aaron Judge, Eugenio Suarez, who now has 35 ahead of Shohei Ohtani with 34. And then it's Kyle Schwarber. PCA is next at sixth with 26. That's a big difference, though, between your five and six.
All of this to say, if you're listening, you're looking at, you're watching the Cubs every night, and you're saying, okay, this is arguably the best team in baseball, you would be correct. But I want you to think about, as we approach 10 days away from the deadline, there are other teams in that conversation for best team in baseball, many of whom have the same needs the Cubs have, which is why when you hear your friendly neighborhood national reporter, Russ Dorsey, he's always going to say, yeah, if you could get one of these guys at the top of your list, cool. But there are a lot of teams out there that want the same guys that you do. And you need to have backup plans just in case that you don't land that guy.
Play the taker sounder again. Play the gong.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's everybody breathing down your neck.
That's Jacob Mizorowski walking to the mound. That's the Detroit Tigers getting a third baseman. That's the Phillies getting a high-leverage arm that can finally close out games for them in the ninth.
Well, that's the Dodgers getting a starter.
It's the Dodgers getting healthy.
Hoping for. Yeah, that's the Dodgers getting healthy.
The Dodgers get healthy, that music's playing.
Yeah, that's whatever team gets Eugenio Suarez. Can the Diamondbacks trade away Suarez and still say they're contenders? What if they trade away Suarez and Gallen? I feel like that would be the not to use the Undertaker theme again here, but those might be the nails in the coffin of their season. It really applies to so many
things. If you're Mike Hazen, there's no need to half-ass it, right? If you're going to be a seller, be a seller.
Whole-ass seller.
You have four guys that are expiring deals. Make yourself better in the future since you know it's going to be an uphill battle. The teams that we just listed.
I completely agree. You could, if you're in his position, you could really invest in your team in a way that, say, notwithstanding, I know the Padres have acquired a lot of talent. They've still got a lot of years on contracts, but you could really do a good job of at least making yourself a contender in that division for a long time.
1,000%.
Yeah, that could be a farm system boon for them. But then they'd have to say that their plan wasn't correct. Coming up next here on Raheem and Harris with Russ Dorsey and for Marshall on 670 The Score. Day three of the saga. We have to give you the latest. Did you have a good meme from Coldplaygate over the weekend? I want to get Russ's thoughts on the whole spectacle. So let's do that next.
Raheem and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
That it is. It is halftime, and we've talked a ton of baseball. The Cubs took 2 out of 3 from the Boston Red Sox in a series that was pretty awesome at home, except for that whole Garrett Crochet thing and then walking 5 batters to lead off 5 innings on Sunday. But other than that, it was really good. You saw a lot of consistent performances. Russ is in for Marshall. Russ Dorsey, of course, the baseball insider for Yahoo, and he works for Apple TV Plus, so we've done a lot. Talked about the Cubs. We also talked with Kevin Fishbane about the Bears fan survey and what the storylines are, because everybody talks tomorrow. Are you ready? Are you ready for football? It is here. It
doesn't matter if you aren't. It's here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I feel like the Bears got 2 weeks off. In a story that has gripped our nation, I wanted to know, Russ, what you thought of the whole spectacle that is, as we have put it as a society, either Coldplaygate or the astronomer CEO and reported head of HR saga from the Coldplay concert.
It is wild. And it feels very much like karma. Like, if you're going to do that.
The blatant cheating.
Yeah,
like, you're going to a stadium.
I can't. I don't support the behavior. But also, of all the places to be seen, and yeah, you don't know that they're going to put you on camera. Also, the thing for me, if they don't react the way they do, this isn't a story. We don't know about it. It doesn't go viral.
Yeah, if you just smile.
Like, you just smile and wave, they go to another couple, and then it's over.
Well, unless somebody sees you and, you know, you get reported to your significant others.
The odds
are. But the national fallout is not going to be an issue.
That happens.
Did you hear that Alex Cora, the Red Sox manager,
was there? He was there, part of
what?
Pop culture history.
Like, what are the odds? Because I guess the Red Sox had time before they could go to, they had the night off before they could go to Chicago. And lo and behold, Alex Cora is just minding his own business, checking out the Coldplay concert.
Love a nice intersection between sports and pop culture there. But yeah, wild situation. The guy has resigned, apparently.
Yeah, the latest from NBC News. Your affair is in NBC News. Oh, no.
Jeez.
It says astronomer CEO, CNBC, which makes it even more interesting. Astronomer CEO Andy Byron resigns after viral Coldplay kiss cam controversy. Listen.
Yeah, now, maybe, go bowling next time.
I'm not saying that what they did was right by any means.
No.
It was not. However, if every CEO of every company resigned because they had an affair, you'd have a lot of resigning CEOs.
A lot
CEOs.
Of openings. There'd be a lot of openings.
You know, let's just call it what it is. You know, the rates of extracurricular activities among the rich and the powerful, so to speak.
Yeah, Uber Eats and bowling next time.
Netflix and chill.
Yeah. Much more, less likely to go viral in that case.
As a reporter, what do you think of the collective sleuthing of the population?
Sleuthing in terms of like the interest overall?
Yeah, how everybody got together and was able to find out all the players involved in a very immediate fashion.
I don't love it for, forget the people that were involved directly. I don't like it for the significant others where now, you know, the wife was on social and had like a popular TikTok and all this stuff. And now she's changed her name, had to go private. Like, I don't love it for those folks. But like the CEO, we were going to find out, or the head of HR lady, like all of that. We were going to find that out anyway, because once they've made it clear like they didn't want to be seen, people are going to do the old snooping on the old internet.
The paragraph. Byron was shown on a big screen at the concert in Boston on Wednesday with his arms around Chief People Officer Kristen Cabot.
Chief People Officer.
Byron, who is married with children, immediately hid. And we don't, I don't know her situation, but you did bring up something important that I think is respective to this. And it reminded me of a situation in sports when Ime Udoka ended up leaving Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And there were reports about somebody else involved who worked for the team. And then all these people just started picking out whoever they thought was a woman could have been involved. And that's when you're
right or wrong.
That's when you're hurting a lot of people.
Yeah, because then people got to come out and say, yo, this was not me. I wouldn't do something like that. And that's when you talk about the fallout, like all this affects. And as the head of a company, it's on you. That's why he is no longer employed as of today.
Random woman, you there. You are at fault for Ime Udoka. Not necessarily.
So I don't know if you guys heard this weekend, though, Coldplay, they didn't necessarily address it, but Chris Martin during the concert did say this.
How we're going to do that is we're going to use our cameras and put some of you on the big screen. So please, if you haven't done your makeup, do your makeup now.
So he was kind of letting everyone know, hey, if you are trying to cheat on your wife,
like,
or whatever,
this is a thing,
we may put a camera on you right now.
We might potentially show you on camera.
Or, you know, just don't be so bold as to be at a stadium where 59 other thousand people thereabouts could have also seen you.
Public place.
And not just on the Jumbotron, but with somebody canoodling. Like, that's the other part of this. Why are you on public canoodling at all?
Well, I'm pro canoodling in public. But like
having an affair?
Not having. I was going to get to that part, Layla.
I'm sorry.
I'm pro the action, not what their situation was. But like, yeah, you want to take your lady or the person you're interested in to the Coldplay concert? That sounds like a great date. It just, for them, the situation was a little, the context wasn't great there.
You're pro canoodling?
I'm pro canoodling, anti cheating. How about that?
So
in public.
How far?
I'm pro canoodling in public.
How far?
100%.
You have a girlfriend per se? Or
I don't
somebody,
have one currently
no,
for everybody listening.
But like, let's listen. There it is.
Yeah, there you go.
I am also single, but not as pro canoodle.
Oh, you're not pro-con. Is that a...
And I mean, I was married and I wasn't very PDA with my husband. And that's not why we broke up.
I'm very much a, we're all grown. And
are we?
No.
Yes.
No,
yes,
I'm regressing in mental capacity.
Wait. So, but why are you anti-canoodling publicly?
I think it's also, well, I mean,
what's the level
when
of
your
canoodling,
dad was
though?
Born in Iran and
I
like,
got that part.
So, you know, I mean, and I'm not like dissing on the culture.
Hand holding.
There aren't Persians that are not that way. I'm just saying, like, I was raised in a pretty like
conservative.
Yeah, my parents also got divorced when I was young, so like that wasn't really around for me, you gotcha. Know? So like then I was. I also, at one point in my childhood life, decided emotion was a sign of weakness.
Okay.
So then,
okay.
And I dated people.
We're like, unpacking here.
Yeah. But all of that just led to me like not wanting to be, I would never be in that physical position with somebody in public. Just would not happen. Like occasionally I'll hold a hand or like have my arm around somebody. But even now that
okay.
sounds scandalous
so
to
this
say.
Is what I figured
I've just
out
been single
right
for
now.
That long.
This is what I figured out. I've
my ex and I would hold hands sometimes.
From this. Her face when she said, I hold hands sometimes. Layla is 100% the exception to the rule.
Now, behind closed doors, I canoodle. But no.
Holding hands is the most innocent form of, in this case, canoodle that you can do. And you made it seem like you slobbing somebody. No, it's just holding hands.
Oh my gosh, yes. I've kissed somebody in public and it's like
she put her hand over her face, guys. You can't see it, but she's like clutching pearls that she dared kiss somebody in public. In view of other people, no. Russ, super pro canoodle.
No, like Grody one time, I had like gone out on a couple of dates with somebody and like Grody had mentioned it on the air and my face got horribly red. I just think that that person didn't sign up for my life. So I try to keep whomever out of it.
You
now
catch Russ
now
out
there's
here
nobody into it.
One day with somebody he's interested in. Meet? Well, not publicly.
See,
that's the line.
Yeah, that's there you go. We found the line.
He's right, though. He's right. Like, you know, what you do behind closed doors is a different thing.
Canoodle, also great word.
It is. It's like cute and funny at the same time. And also, like, it makes you think about people you know who are, like, famous and stuff. And would you ever think that they were canoodling? Like, what happens if you saw, like, the executive of a team canoodling? You'd be like, oh, my God,
no,
what are you doing?
No, I would mind my business.
No, I mean, like, in public with their wife or something.
Oh, it was like, oh, that's cool.
But still, in a way, I'd be like, oh, you're not talking about a team right now. What
never,
are you doing?
Never. Outside of the confines of a stadium or a team facility, you are just another person.
Now, listen, have I canoodled publicly? Yes, I have. But is it out of my character typically? It is. It takes a lot. Like, something must have happened.
How dare you, Layla?
847 is hilarious. I'm not against it for other people. I just...
That is an important distinction you just made,
No. I am not against canoodling for other people. But me, LR, that typically is not the case. Like, I'll be walking with somebody and somebody's like, I saw you... A friend. And it's like, I saw you walking with... Like, an Instagram message. I saw you walking with your man. I'm like, that wasn't even my man. We were just walking in the same place at the same time.
815, I'm learning a lot about Layla and Russ today. You're probably learning more about Layla than me, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not anti-other people canoodling. I just think it's, like, out of character for me.
She was not having the canoodle in public. Like, she was concerned.
That is horrifying to me. And yes, 847, we did know meat was coming back.
Had to pull out the meat, yeah.
Five.
Whoa.
Meat?
Whoa.
All right, I'm cutting us off. We can't do this the day before Bears. None of us can get in trouble the day before training camp press conferences. Five on it is next on the score.